Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 reads, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." I'd like to speak this morning for a few moments on the problem of time. Time has always been a problem for man because we only have a limited amount of it. The scarcity and uncertainty of time, the world's most precious and irreplaceable commodity, places a tremendous and grave responsibility upon the Christian for the way he uses it. Our days are numbered and wrought with trouble. Job chapter 14, verse 1 reads, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." The scripture tells us that few days and trouble filled, well, that can raise some questions and problems. I have the problem of learning my frailty in the measure of my days. I know it, and yet at the same time, I don't know it. I know life is short for the other fellow, but I'm inclined to think that time will tarry for me. I must learn and apply the lesson to myself. Life is something that we live daily, so man's frailty is a daily problem in solving it. We need to take this matter to God in prayer and ask for his help, as did the psalmist in Psalms 39, verse 4, where we read, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Verse 5 reads, "Behold, thou hast made my days a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee." Psalms chapter 90, verse 12 reads, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." If we can learn this, we shall be smart. We have the everyday problem of protecting our bodies and caring for our health to the end that our days may be lengthened. Psalms chapter 90, verse 10 reads, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Time is also not a respecter of persons. On April 11th, 1912, the Titanic, the world's best ship at the time, left Southampton, England on its way to the United States. The ship at that time was deemed unsinkable, yet after 4 days into its maiden voyage, the unsinkable ship hit an iceberg and sank in less than 3 hours. This happened on April 15th, 1912, and up until that date, the ship was considered the greatest achievement ever created by the hand of man. It took over 15,000 men to build the ship. It took more than 3 years to complete. The maiden voyage lured the very best people, British nobility, American industrialists, the very cream of New York and Philadelphia society. It also attracted many poor immigrants hoping to start a new life in America and Canada. In the end, there were 705 survivors out of 2,228 people that had boarded that ship only days earlier. So you see, time is no respecter of people or bank accounts or worldly possessions. We have the problem of redeeming time. The Holy Spirit tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 15 and 16, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeem means to buy back. I'm afraid we have wasted too much time already, therefore we need to buy back all of it that we can. Idleness is not something that the Christian should strive for. Matthew chapter 20 speaks of the parable of the householder. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul instructs Timothy that the young widows marry, lest they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. The problem with time was one of the major problems for Felix to overcome. Paul preached to him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come in Acts chapter 24. The word had such an effect that Felix trembled. Verse 25 reads, "And as he reasoned righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Felix lost the battle of time. He waited for the convenient season, but it did not come. The foolish virgins, as far as we know, were good women, but they failed to solve the problems of time. In Matthew chapter 25, we read that the foolish virgins wanted to meet the bridegroom, and they made some preparations to do so, but not enough. They went forth to make preparations, but it was too late. Time ran out on them. We can also save time by not wasting it. We read in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Time can also be wasted by lack of application. If we are to accomplish things, we must apply ourselves. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, "Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you are going." Reading cheap literature and wasting too much time in front of TV is a time waste also. This country is filled with demoralizing literature and TV. Some is vulgar, most is vulgar. Some is suggestive, most is suggestive. Some is propaganda. What a waste of time, talent, paper, and ink. One reads, so he thinks. Our duty as Christians is to think on the higher and nobler things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Another form of wasting time is unwholesome recreation. This country and world is pleasure mad and is wasting time in pursuit of the same. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures more than lovers of God." Verse 5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Sometimes we carry a chip on our shoulder over the way people are treating us or have treated us. This too is a waste of time. It takes both time and strength to meditate on something that you feel is an injustice done to you. Dwelling on acts done to us by others, even though they may be wrong, will only lead to bitterness and frustration. Forget it. Leave it to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 reads, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him something to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Many people waste time worrying about what might happen in the future. We need to accept the promise made in Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Turn loose of yesterday, for it is gone. Do not reach for tomorrow, for it is here. Grab today, for it is here." In speaking about this issue of time, I have been a member of this congregation for 29 years. We moved here in February of 1991, and over 29 years, I've seen this congregation take several different shapes and forms. I've seen the attendance on a regular basis that would run about half of what it is right now. I've seen times when we have shut down at the paper mill, I was the only one that's lead singing for probably a Sunday, maybe two, depending on how many of the guys were called out on what different shifts. But I've also seen chairs that are in this audience that were filled with familiar faces that are now empty. But let me tell you what's another portion of time that excites me. I've seen these chairs, we've added 20 in the last few months because our attendance is growing. I have seen young people, by my count here, about 9 young people that have been baptized and obeyed the gospel in the last several months. I have seen new families move in here, and these new families that come here and place membership are not right around the corner. I mean, we have the Shoemakers driving from Redwater. Lance and Haley are driving from Texarkana. We have people that drive from Delight, from Texarkana, from Murfreesboro. It's just the mix of people that we have and the distance they drive to come here is amazing, and this church has profited because of these people being here. We have got vacation Bible schools that are energizing, and I'm not talking about just to the kids. VBS has become one of my favorite things of summer that I look forward to, because I, at first, it kind of, I lose the intentions of what it is, but when I get there and I see the effort that Robert put forth and all the teachers and the props that they do and the things that they do and the time that they spend, and Zach and the lessons that we prepared, Robert brings the lessons upstairs, it is amazing and it is energizing. And if you're not coming to these VBSs because you think they're for children, you are not doing yourself a favor, because it is exciting times to be here at Saratoga when the Vacation Bible School goes on for everybody. I'm excited about the Rugrats we have coming around here. There's several young ones around here, and that's just, that means the future is great. There's been a time when we had three or four song leaders. Now we have eight. When Lance placed membership, we have eight song leaders, and I'm talking about good song leaders, and that is just really rare for a congregation of this size. We have, I was doing some figuring about our average attendance. About 10% of our congregation can lead songs, and by our average attendance, about 18 to 20% of our congregation can do a talk and teach class, and that's just great. For a congregation this size, that's to me, that's just very impressive. But back to the lesson. In conclusion, I want to remind you that we redeem all the time that you can. Just as the Titanic was deemed unsinkable and was promised to float forever, many people can go through life thinking the time to get right is with God and serve the Lord is after the fun has all been had. But that is the trick of the devil. There are two mighty big words in the Bible, now and today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 reads, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." If you're not a Christian this morning, or if you're a Christian and fell out of grace with God, stop wasting your time. Make things right. Today is the day, and now is the time, as we stand together and sing.